Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Live with Colin. We had a few technical difficulties earlier, but now we're back and we are seemingly okay with all the stuff that we had to figure out. But it's Sunday, May 24th, and I'm excited to be joined by a dear friend, Laura. We'll be discussing her impressive journey thus far, raising an amazing daughter who is now 12, and the parental maneuvering Laura's had to learn along the way since her daughter's revelation about being gay. This show is in no way to exploit Laura's daughter, but instead to understand more realistically the nuances associated with raising a gay child. If you'd like to join the conversation, please call 516-595-8314. So Laura, welcome, and thanks for agreeing to this discussion with me. I am truly of the belief you'll be a beacon for someone today, and I'm excited for a talk. For perspective, so that our listeners are aware, Laura and I know each other very well, but today we'll try to suspend that reality so as to have a real discussion around this subject. So again, welcome, Laura. How are you?
Hi, sorry, I didn't realize I was muted. Hi, Colin. I'm well. Thank you so much for having me on as part of this show. I'm excited, and I hope to be able to help some people out there who might find themselves in going through this journey.
Well, again, thank you very much. And I'll just jump right in. So how old was your daughter? And we'll call her B. We wouldn't give her full name, just for the sake of some anonymity. But how old was B when she came out to you?
She was 9 years old.
And what would you say was your initial reaction?
She was nine in fourth grade. So to kind of tell you about that evening when it happened, you know, she's always been very eager to go to school. And that day she woke up and was acting a little off and asked me if she could just go to work with me that day. And I said, okay, because I could feel that something was up. And so she spent the entire day with me. I had to do a training that night, and we're driving back from Miami. It's about 9 o'clock at night. And she starts telling me that she has something to tell me. But she doesn't know how to say it, and that she just, you know, she's scared. And all these thoughts are racing through my head. I mean, everything from, oh my gosh, did someone do something to her, to is she going to tell me she's gay? I mean, all these things, everything in between was racing through my head. Obviously, I was praying that she was okay. But it was just such, I'll never forget that drive home from Miami. We were in the car for about an hour. She started to hold my hand. I told her, you know, I love you, whatever it is, you can tell me. And she just couldn't. She tried, she couldn't. So I kept telling her, well, if you can't tell me, then maybe you're not ready to tell me. Because about a half hour into that drive, it dawned on me that she was about to tell me that she was gay. I don't know why I got that feeling, but just what she was saying, that, you know, she just hopes it doesn't change the relationship with her grandparents specifically, a little bit more old school. I started realizing that it very well could be that she was about to come out to me. And I, transparency here, I was almost praying that she wasn't going to tell me, because I didn't know how I was going to react. Mind you, just to tell you a little bit about myself, I have been open and accepting, and to me, it's a non-conversation, you know, being gay or people who are gay, or I feel that it's biological. I am pro-gay marriage. I've always had gay people in my life. It's not, there's no There was never any kind of question about that. But when I felt that my daughter was about to reveal this to me, I didn't feel I was ready. I didn't know what to say to her. She was 9 years old at the time, and I was scared. I wanted to have the right reaction, because as a parent, you come to realize that even one word can stay with your child for the rest of their life. So I started to tell her, if she wasn't ready to tell me, then maybe she's not ready to tell anyone yet, so maybe she should process it a little bit. And I was selfishly trying to buy time for myself. So we're in the car, we're driving, and when we get to my house, we were in the driveway. She didn't want to go inside the house yet, and she was trying to tell me. And so finally I said, okay, well, if you can't tell me, why don't you write it down? She's like, okay. So I found a Starbucks bag that, by the way, I still have, and I'll give it to her as a gift one day. I found a Starbucks bag and a pencil, and she wrote something and handed it to me, and it's just so just cute. I want to cry right now. She wrote, "I'm bisexual," and misspelled bisexual. and I read it, and I said, okay, yeah, all right. So how do you know you're bisexual? And she goes, well, I just don't like any boys, and people in my class are, you know, the girls talk about cute boys, and I just don't, you know. And I said, well, that doesn't mean that you're gay necessarily. You know, sometimes people begin to like other people when they're a little bit older. And she says, yeah, but sometimes when I'm around certain girls, I get butterflies in my stomach. And I said, okay. And she never asked me if I was okay with it, because I raised her to not have that as a topic, meaning it, you know, we have gay friends, we have gay family. It was never, let me sit you down and explain what it is, because it just always was. Her biggest concern was the reaction of my parents and friends and her friends. And so that was, you know, that was our moment. And once in a while I come across that bag and I show it to her and I go, oh, look how cute you are. She starts laughing. And so that's, you know, that's how she came out to me. She was in fourth grade, and that was, you know, the moment.
And you know what's interesting? A couple of things jump out, because, you know, I'm gay and we've been friends for many years. You've been around gay friends of mine who have become your dear friends. You have had gay friends of your own. When we met, we went to gay clubs together. You were the quintessential heterosexual girl who had no issue with anyone around her who is gay, and found quite a few great friendships in the gay society. And I'm just wondering, because you mentioned you wanted to find the right language to be able to respond in such a way that wouldn't impact her negatively later on in life, which is a testament to what many parents go through. But you in particular, in my knowing you, I found it interesting that you had to find words, and even prior to having to find words, hoping that she wouldn't say she was gay. And I understand it, because I remember when you called me that night and you were really upset to disclose to me what had been revealed to you, I too was like, oh my God, knowing what I went through, I didn't wish that on her or for her. So it's really interesting, the dichotomy when it comes to others in our lives who we love, being who we've always been accepting of, being what we have always been accepting of, and then the difficulty in accepting that. What do you think that's all about?
Colin, I remember that conversation with you as if it happened 5 minutes ago, because I could not get to the phone fast enough to call you. And she made me promise that I wouldn't say anything to anybody. And I promised her that. And I said, that's your story to tell. I'm not going to tell anybody. But you're not the only one going through this journey. So I need a support system right now. And this is how I've always spoken to my daughter from the time that she was born. So she, you know, she understood that. And I said, so I do need to tell a couple of people, because I need guidance, you know? And so I told her who I was going to tell, and you were one of those people. And I felt ashamed, because I have been around you know, I have family members. I grew up with aunts and uncles mm-hmm. who were gay, and it was just never yeah. an issue in my family. And even when Bianca was little, you know, joking around with one of my cousins, you know, that, you know, if she's gay, this and that, you know, just the things that you picture your child being when they grow up, and always saying I would be 100% okay if my child was gay. And then when it happened, it was just such a glass of cold water, that shock. And it wasn't.
And I really think that's what's powerful. So that's what's really powerful. Is that we often say it.
Yeah, I didn't care if she was gay. That was not the problem. It was, I was scared for her. I was scared
exactly.
because of everything that you see, you know, mm-hmm. the struggle that people have gone through when they come out, and you know, I know she would be okay in our immediate circle, but for a 9-year-old to navigate this and to be able to defend what she believes and who she is, and I was just so terrified for her. So that I had a problem with that. It wasn't, you know, I don't want her to be gay, not at all, ever.
Laura, if I might just interject very quickly, I think you just arrived at something very powerful, and that's a great qualifier. And it actually just enlightened me, because as I mentioned to you, when you first told me, I was like, oh my God, I don't want that for her. I even asked a question that one may say is very ignorant. How do you know? And how could I ask that, being gay myself, knowing from a very young age I was gay, and I knew, I just intuitively knew. So for me to ask you how she knew that, when obviously, like me, she just knows herself. She instinctively knows who and what she is. But the qualifier that you just made was, it's not that you had an issue with her being gay. You were just now trepidatious of how is this little girl going to navigate a cruel world, a world that's still not fully accepting of those of us who are gay, who are still maybe not even comfortable with ourselves because of the societal construct that we're trying to conform to. So you're just now nervous for her, the repercussions, potentially the bullying, whatever may ensue as a result of her now coming into her own, and how is she going to show up in the world, and will she be received? So that's the qualifier. Not that you have an issue, but it's just now protection mode has kicked in, and now you want to be Mama Bear.
Absolutely. And I know before I said, you know, I knew we weren't going to have a problem with our friends and family, but actually that's incorrect, because one of the things that I struggled with was it took her about, so she came out to me, I believe it was August of her fourth grade year. And it took her until about January to start saying to me that she wanted to start telling her friends. And that's when I started to panic, because, you know, kids can be so cruel. And even, you know, with my family, that I have some family members that are conservative, and I was scared of not even so much the bullying at that point, just the rejection. You know, she's very sensitive, and I'll tell you, leading up to this, so third grade, fourth grade, Bianca used to be very bubbly and outgoing and talkative, and then about 6 months before coming out to me, she started to withdraw, and everyone noticed it. We would go to a party, she would stay with me, or she would sit on the couch, she wouldn't engage. And so once she ended up coming out to everyone, she was back to her bubbly self. And everyone saw such a difference. You know, I would get text messages mm-hmm. from my friends saying, oh my gosh, she's back. And what she explained to me was that she just felt almost like an imposter, mm-hmm. because they were her friends, but they really didn't know her. And mm-hmm. she didn't know if they really were going to be her friends. And this is my 9-year-old saying these things to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, and what I found also interesting was when you mentioned that you weren't sure what she was going to tell you that day in the car, you thought maybe she was going to come out, maybe based on what she was alluding to or what she was intimating. But, you know, they always say mother's intuition, mothers always know. Prior to the 6 months when she started to go into a shell and not really be her bubbly self, prior to that, years before, whenever, did you ever have an inclination that maybe she was gay, or it never dawned on you until that day in the car when you were thinking, well, maybe she's going to tell me she's gay?
You know, when I look back, I remember over the years saying certain things, and it's just complete stereotypical type things that, you know, it's a little bit ignorant, a little bit embarrassing, but it's just the stereotype that she was never really big on girly girl type stuff. You know, she would get in her phases if she wanted to wear skirts and, you know, things like that. But, you know, her friends were big into Barbies or big into, you know, certain things, and she wasn't. She was more into sports, and, you know, she's always been kind of a deeper child. Like, she would prefer to sit and talk about history with adults. Mm-hmm. But when I would look back and see, like, the things that she preferred to wear and the things, you know, and again, very stereotypical. So I'm not saying that all, you know, all gay people or all lesbians only wear pants. Nope, that's not it. But it was just such a drastic difference from her friends.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was just little things like that. I never thought, oh, she's gay. It was kind of always in the back of my mind, like, oh, I'd be okay with it, you know, whatever. But apparently that night it was scary, and I wasn't so okay with it, with the, you know, the realization. But one quick story I just want to tell is when she was in second grade, we were having breakfast before school started, and the news was on. And it was the morning that, you know, gay marriage had passed, and they were showing the first couples getting married on the courthouse steps. So we're having breakfast, and she's watching the news, and I didn't even realize that it was on. And, you know, and she looks at me, she's like, wait a minute, those two women just got married? And I said, yeah, but she said it in a very kind of negative way. And I said, yeah. And she goes, what? That is absolutely ridiculous. And in those 2 seconds, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm raising a homophobe, you know? And I said, well, why do you think it's ridiculous? She goes, because you should be allowed to marry whoever you want. Who knows who I'm going to marry? Well, at least I have choices now. And I was like,
wow.
Okay.
So her outrage was that, her outrage was the fact that this was, you know, a big deal when it shouldn't be. It should have always been the case.
She thought it was always the case. So this was a shocker to her. And I took it like she thought that was a problem. And
That's why I always say indoctrination is a hell of a thing. And children aren't born indoctrinated. They learn how to become conservative, narrow-minded. They are no longer free thinkers when society starts to impose all of its restrictions. So she had been one of those who hadn't yet been fully indoctrinated in a way to where she had those negative views. She was just of the opinion that this was normal until it was revealed to her it really wasn't, but now it somewhat is. So that's where her outrage lied. So that's interesting.
Yeah. And one of the things now that you're saying about, you know, how children are not indoctrinated, you know, I realized one day, like I said, it was never a conversation to be had in my household or family, because it just always was, you know, my cousin was dating somebody, it wasn't, let me sit Bianca down because Uncle so-and-so is bringing somebody, you know, it was no different than, you know, my heterosexual cousin bringing in her boyfriend. And so I remember it dawned on me that she didn't see a difference because we were putting together an invitation list for, I can't remember now, maybe her birthday. And so I said to her, okay, who do you want to invite? And she started listing off family units. So she started saying, for example, I definitely Aunt Sylvia and Uncle Tom, and what, and then we need to invite Grandma and Grandpa, and we need to invite Uncle Steve and Uncle Michael. So it was these family units that included my cousin and his partner, and it wasn't just random names. The way she was naming them were in family units, and it just dawned on me in that moment that she doesn't see that difference, which I love. You know, she doesn't ever, you know, question, you know, oh, they might be gay or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. And again, I can't tell you how powerful it is that we're having this discussion and you're being fully transparent, having been someone with gay friends who had no real hang-ups, at least so you thought. But when it comes to your, you know, daughter, then it becomes a different situation, because now you are, it has hit home more closely, and now you're having to deal with it head on and fully immerse yourself in what it is like to be a gay person through the eyes of your daughter, what those trials and tribulations are, and how can you best support this person that you so dearly love. So then it becomes a different dynamic. And, you know, for someone like yourself who had been exposed, had been very open, at least seemingly, until you had to deal with it head on, it's just incredible to me what people who haven't been exposed, who are now having to wrap their brains around this, what they go through. And I don't judge it, because, again, it's society and what has been imposed and what's supposedly right and wrong, religion and what religion dictates, and all the things that we know have brought on guilt and shame and everything that people have had to deal with and work through. So for you to be honest with the fact that, as liberal as you are, you still had your concerns and you're still, you know, somewhat nervous about this being your reality and how you'd work through it. So that leads me into, did you ever, and you may have somewhat touched on this earlier, but did you ever feel shame?
No, honestly, I've never felt shame. I felt fear. I felt like I was coming out to my circle of friends to tell them, because, like I said, my daughter decided that, okay, the next get together, I'm telling my friends, and I needed to prepare the parents. And so, again, I had promised her that that I wouldn't say anything, that this is her story to tell. But then I had to sit her down and say, listen, I know you want to come out to them on Saturday. There was a barbecue and she wanted to come out to her friends. And I said, but I have to prepare these parents, because they're not expecting a 9-year-old to come out to their kids on Saturday between hot dogs and, you know, and chips. Mm-hmm. And then how are they going to, you know, be able to talk to this topic and to be prepared? And so she didn't understand that at first. And I almost felt bad that I was taking that away from her. If she was older, it could have been on her terms. And I don't know if I did the right thing or not. I feel I did, because some of the people in my circle, in my village, the people that have helped me get through so much, there are some conservative people in there with a heart of gold. But I was so scared of that rejection. So I wanted to prepare them. I didn't want them to come back and say, a heads up would have been nice, because I wasn't prepared to talk about this with my 9-year-old. You know, they're 9. They're not 19.
I think that was wise, because there you are dealing with parents, a lot of them very conservative, some of them who've never been exposed to a person who is gay, at least not that they were aware, because a lot of us who are gay who are not the stereotypical gay, and as at least what is considered stereotypical, and most people don't know that they are in contact with many of us on a daily basis. But as noble as it was in terms of and wanting to be fully out, she is still a child and doesn't yet fully understand that her openness can have ramifications, and their parents who will need to be prepared to have those discussions and maybe need to educate themselves on, okay, what does it mean to exactly be gay? I've always heard it. I've always had a negative opinion of it. Here is someone who is the daughter of a dear friend of mine who I love, and I also love her daughter who has now revealed this. How do I, we respond kindly, compassionately, responsibly, so that I'm not making it a bad thing to my children, because maybe it isn't that bad, because here is someone that I know who is what I've always somewhat villainized. So I think it was wise of you to have done that. So it's great that you'd never felt shame, because I think a lot of parents have, but I think maybe your exposure post the revelation or pre the revelation helped with your ability to work through whatever those emotions were to arrive to where you are now. So what advice would you give other parents, having gone through it, having had to deal with certain things that maybe you weren't the most comfortable dealing with in the beginning? What advice would you give?
I hear a little bit of echo. I don't know if you hear it too. Whether you are open, I was before she came out or had the experience that I had, maybe you don't have that experience. Maybe you're a very conservative religious person that this does not fit into your values. So, you know, over the years, I've had friends who have come out to their families, and my family ended up taking them in because they got kicked out of their house or, you know, became completely alienated, estranged from their families. Now, fast forward 20, 30 years, everyone is back together. Families are accepting of them. But the moment that that child needed their family, they weren't there. And even if you don't understand it, they're your child. Embrace them, hug them, love them. And you can, and it's okay to say, I don't understand this. I need time to process, because whether you don't agree with certain, not that this is a choice, but you know, children are always going to make certain choices that we might not agree with, but they're your child. So if they're coming out to you and saying, this is who I am, by you rejecting that child, you're telling them that you don't love who they are. And I'm going to try not to cry, but after she came out to me, in those 6 months before she came out to her friends, she became very depressed. And so I found LGBT youth center in the area, and I took her. And I went first by myself to go check this place out because I felt like she needed to be around people like her. And it was so heartbreaking to see kids there that were sneaking there, telling their parents that they were going to basketball practice, but instead they were going to this community center because they couldn't tell their parents. They even had a little shelter there for kids that got kicked out. And there were 12-year-olds there, 11-year-olds, that I could not believe that these young children, these babies, came out to their families and they were kicked out of the house. And it just broke my heart because I felt that me being this open, more enlightened person, struggling the way I am with my daughter, those families that didn't know how to handle it, the damage that they've done to their children by completely rejecting them, not just emotionally, but they're out, 11 years old, no shelter, no protection, nothing. And it was just
and that's a testament to the fact that you created an environment and you parented in such a way where they felt comfortable coming out to you. And a lot of gay kids, they don't feel comfortable, they don't feel safe, and they either run away from home, they become suicidal, they hide it and grow up with this burden on their shoulders, to where they become angry adults to where they become depressed. They get married. They do all the traditional things that they believe is expected of them. And it just becomes a life of complete unhappiness, despair, and all the things that we see. And here are these children at this youth center who were desperate for help and actually snuck to this place for some type of support. And of course, yeah, that's heartbreaking. But again, it's a testament to the fact that you created an environment that allowed her to feel safe, to feel comfortable. So that's incredible.
And
now,
Colin,
go ahead.
I just wanted to go back real quick to the coming out to her friends and to my friends and family. It's so interesting because this whole thing has been such an unpredictable ride. You know, like I said before, when she was younger, or even before I had kids, I would say, oh, you know, I would have no problem with it. And actually, I was shocked to find out that I had a little bit of a, you know, I had to put the mirror up to my face. And then people who I thought would be okay with it were making comments or suggestions that completely blew me away. You know, people that I thought would be more open, people who went to those gay bars with you and I, then turned around and said, well, no, you shouldn't even be having this discussion with her. She's only nine. And, you know, and the people that I thought, like those conservative friends of mine who I thought we're no longer invited to their home or welcome there, completely open their arms to us and their homes, and nothing changed. And the children, it was a non-issue. They were like, oh, okay. One little girl even thought she was gay because she said that she liked playing with girls. So the parents had to explain, well, that doesn't mean that you're gay. But yeah, so it was just funny that the more progressive people that I thought were more progressive or open, their whole thing, and like you said before, you know, even I have a cousin who said, well, how does she know? And actually, he said that to her, and my daughter said, well, how do you know? You know, mm-hmm. And then one of my other cousins, a straight cousin, she came out to him, and he said, well, how do you know? You've never, you know, even held hands with a boy. And she said, well, how do you know you're not gay? You've never held hands with a boy. And he was like, oh, you're right.
You see, that's great. And what I also find amazing is what you just said. We, too, judge people because we see people who are conservative and we think that they will not be accepting, they will be judgmental, they'll cast aspersions and all the things. And those who are more liberal, we tend to think, oh, they would be the accepting ones. They're the ones I'm not going to be concerned with. And it was the opposite. And we have to be careful with what we assume ourselves. And I just told my dearest friend in the world the other day, who came out to his parents a few years ago, that he is in his family for divine purpose. And that purpose mm-hmm. is to expose them and to give them a different perspective. Because what I've learned over the years is you really can't judge people for how they think and feel because that's all they know. And until they know differently, until they've become exposed, until they see for themselves that what they've always thought isn't really true, that's when things shift. That's when they start to embrace a different way of thinking. So I say this, with your conservative friends or your liberal friends, whoever may not have been accepting or whoever may not have been exposed, that is why Bianca is in that circle. She is there to shed light and to be that beacon and to illuminate a different way of seeing things. And that's how we bring about change in this world. So I don't see anything as out of order. Everything has a divine purpose. And her being exactly where she is, you living where you are, and the individuals you interact with, and the other friends that are in the mix, they are receiving a hell of an education that may otherwise not have received. So what she is doing and what you are doing is just phenomenal. And what you have, the advice you've given to other parents and what you just mentioned in terms of, I love when you said, you may not have the right words today, but that's okay. As time passes, the words will come and the reaction will be such where your child will feel that support and that unconditional love. Now, moving on, so do you feel at any time pressure to get it right in terms of what you say and how you show up still? Because I know in the beginning you did, but do you still feel that way, or is it more of an organic interaction with B?
No, we're good. Now we're good. There was a period when she came out, I would say the first year, she was very confused. She started to say that maybe she wasn't bisexual, maybe she's gay. Now, as a almost 13-year-old, we talk about it, and she says that she knew she was gay all the time, but she felt that saying bisexual was a lighter blow. And so I completely get that. And so during that year, she then started saying that she was gender fluid and, you know, pansexual. And then she wanted me to buy her a binder when she started to develop breasts. And that scared me because she was completely changing her identity. But then I didn't know, is it just that age? I remember being that age and exploring other things, you know, we're trying to find our way. I didn't want to feed into it too much. But also I wanted to give her the space to explore that. She went through a phase where she didn't want me to say, the female pronouns. I had to say they, and that was just so confusing. And we got into a lot of arguments over that because I just didn't understand. And I would tell her, you know, you need to calm down a little bit and be a little more forgiving because I'm, you know, you've been my daughter, she, for the last, you know, 9-10 years. And now you're telling me that you don't know if you want to be a girl anymore. I mean, it was this whole spectrum that she went through in about a year and a half. And now I'm, things can change. You know, she's about to be 13 and I support, you know, her journey. But she's pretty much identified as lesbian for the last couple of years. And sometimes she'll say, remember when, I said that I didn't want to be a girl anymore? You look scared, Mom. And I'm like, were you testing me? Were you trying me? She goes, no, I was really confused, but I'm really glad you didn't buy me that binder because I was just, you know, I was just, and I said, okay, well, you might go back to that. You might, you know, what this journey is a lifetime. So, but you know,
when you mentioned that, you told her, you have to be patient with me. I'm learning words to that effect. Because this is all new to me. I think you said, that leads me into, so every parent has an ideal for their child. They see their child being a doctor, a nurse, or getting married, white picket fence, children, all that stuff. What was your dream for B? Was your dream any one of those things I just mentioned, or maybe something similar to that? Or did you never have any specific dream for her? You just always wanted her maybe to be happy, healthy, whatever she wanted to do, you'd be supportive of. Did this alter if there was a dream, or can you speak to that?
Absolutely. And 100% truthfully, I did not have a dream because I had so much put on me by my parents and expectations. And when I lived my life my way, to this day, I still hear about certain disappointments. I decided I would never pressure my daughter into, you know, this is what I want for you. This is how I want you to get married or who to marry or what to be. The only dreams that I ever had was, let's say she wanted to be, you know, play soccer. I pictured her as, you know, Mia Hamm, that kind of thing, but not her life. You know, I told her just be the best that you can be, you know, get an education and be who you want to be.
Now, I know this is a big topic of late, and it's a reality. So I'm going to ask, has she had to deal with any bullying because of who she is? Because I know you'd mentioned to me her appearance had changed at one point. She had cut her hair off. At one point, she was coloring her hair different colors, and you allowing her to express herself, which I think is great. But had there ever been any bullying that you had to assist with or intervene with?
So not really. There was one situation, and again, you know, I don't know if things happened that she didn't tell me. I didn't see any difference in her personality or anything like that. So there was just one boy when she cut her hair off. They knew each other since preschool. You know, she had hair down to her waist and shaved it to less than, you know, 2 millimeters. I mean, she was bald almost. He, in front of everybody in the cafeteria, he would say, "Are you a boy or are you a girl?" And she didn't, she would just kind of go into her shell a little bit. She didn't tell me about it. I had to ask her, "Has anybody said anything? Has anybody made any comments?" And she, no. And then one day she told me, and I knew who this little boy was. And I said, "Okay, well, you need to turn around one day and say, I don't know, are you?" And she was like, "Oh my gosh." So she went the next day and did it, and it shut him up, and all his friends started laughing at him. And that was it. That's the only story that I know of.
Fantastic. And, you know, and that's what I think a lot of kids need from their parents, is that level of confidence to just stand your ground, be who you are. And I've always known this. Other people are more concerned with their issues than they are with us. So a lot of times, yes, when we're in the world thinking others are thinking whatever they are about us, and, oh my gosh, how am I going to deal with that? A lot of times they're not that concerned with you. They're more concerned with themselves. And once you show yourself as being confident, as being exactly who you are, people just tend to fall in line. When people start the bullying and the attacking is when they sense weakness, when they sense that you're uncomfortable in your skin, uncomfortable with who you are. Now, for the sake of time, just very quickly, with now her having come out, and I'm suspecting there's a lot that's been worked through over the years, do you feel the need to be a helicopter mother to protect her more so than ever? Or have you just allowed her to be, and you just are on the sidelines kind of guiding and ensuring that, you know, she's okay?
Yes and no. I mean, I've always been somewhat of a helicopter mom, very involved in her life, and I want her to be open with me and be able to talk things through. So I do ask a lot of questions, you know, especially now that everything is online, even education because of COVID. You know, these children are online. They're, you know, long are the days of those CD AOL chat rooms. Now everything is a huge chat room and you're chatting with everyone. So I've taught her a lot about internet safety, but in the back of my mind, sometimes I feel that if she, and I've talked to her about this, if she announces too much on the internet, there are predators out there, not only predators for children, but she might be seen as a marginalized, vulnerable person because a 9-year-old, well now almost 13, speaking freely about their sexuality. There are a lot of people out there that would exploit that. So I just really talk to her about being careful. If she says, "Oh, my friend that I met online," I ask a lot of questions. I have her go through some of the chats, and you know, so she's pretty smart. She knows, you know, people ask her where she's from. She says Earth. So,
well, you know, I think that's great. I think that's great, and I think that's good advice for parents, because there are predators out there, and I think you need to be involved, especially when they're at a certain age and they're vulnerable, they're still trying to work through certain things. Laura, we have 20 seconds left, and what I wanted to take this time to say to you is I have known you for many years. You're a phenomenal mother. Continue doing what you do. We'll have another conversation to talk some more, but we're wrapping up, and thank you to our listeners. And Laura, thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you.